You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon as we go through our beautiful journey of Our Lady of Lourdes. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it is such a wonderful journey. And as we discover some hidden little facts and some stories regarding Our Lady of Lourdes and beautiful little Saint Bernadette. So you've had some background I gave you, but before we begin with the next apparitions regarding Saint Bernadette, let's pray together a Hail Mary, shall we? Ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, ever since the first apparition had ended on February the 11th, Bernadette had been completely preoccupied. I can't imagine why, right? Preoccupied with the thought of the lady that she had seen at the grotto, right? And so her friends kept bugging her and wanting her to go with her back to the grotto, right? And they did do that, you know. But as time went on, she was, you know, so taken aback that her parents actually were kind of wondering whether or not, you know, this was all true, or is this just some sort of a hallucination? So it was really something. And when Bernadette would be in the presence of Our Lady, she was like in a, like not in a trance, but she was so focused. Her heart and soul and spirit were so in tune into Our Blessed Mother. And she seemed like she was like in a trance, and she was sort of she was very unaware of the surroundings around her, right? There was starting to be a bit of a crowd now coming for her along the same time, because, you know, word spreads pretty quickly in a small little town. And here is a little description of Bernadette's description of Our Lady that she had seen. And it's so beautiful and so touching. Remember, at that time, she was 14 years old. The Blessed Virgin wore a dress of dazzling whiteness, gathered in a graceful fold high against the neck. The sleeves were close-fitting. Her head was covered by a veil which went down to the forehead, then following the contour of her body and falling upon her shoulders and barely touching her arms. It dropped in graceful folds on both sides to her feet. A blue girdle encircled her waist. It was without a knot and floated before her, large and plain and much below the knees. Her feet were bare and could just be seen under the last folds of her dress, and on each foot was a full-blown yellow rose. From one of her arms hung a long rosary. the beads of which were dazzling white. The chain was of shining yellow, and the crucifix was yellow like the chain. So now, for the first time, of course, her mother, Louise, doesn't go with her, right? But she gets a chaperone. They made sure that there were two other women that kind of went with Bernadette to the grotto, right? So when she arrives at the grotto, Bernadette, you know, started singing Ave Maria. And then again, she saw the same vision. And then Bernadette asks her, if you have something to say to me, would you be kind enough to write it down? Well, Our Lady responds by speaking for the very first time. And she says, what I have to say to you is not necessary to write. Would you have the kindness to come here for 15 days? 15 days to come. And so Bernadette agrees, right? And the third apparition is now over. So it's this promise of a fortnight. And a fortnight is like, it was considered as 2 weeks' time, right? So that is the beginning, as I say, of the next apparitions. And then, my friends, we go to the next part of this journey, and that is at the fortnight. So on the fortnight, Thursday, February 1858, Blessed Mother asks little Bernadette to visit her for 15 days, which really means like 2 weeks, right? And then, of course, begins the fourth apparition, right? Since she goes through that. And then there was a fifth apparition. The next day it was Saturday, February the 20th. And she goes... again, she's in like in a trance, and she's unaware that the crowds are like they're incredible, the number of people that are coming, right? And finally, one morning, she gets up on the Sunday. She goes before Holy Mass, and when she gets there, people are already there waiting for her to see. And finally, the lady shows herself to Bernadette, and she turns to Bernadette and says to her, pray for sinners. And with these words, the lady passed back into peaceful bliss, like she looked quite concerned, Our Lady. But the warning for sinners and the worry on Our Lady's face was so powerful that these words would shape the rest of Bernadette's life. And the following day, because now you've got crowds that are like, it's just insane, right? The number of people that are coming. But this time Bernadette decided to go without her parents' blessing. And when she got there, there was no vision. Our Lady didn't reveal herself. And so there's been many theologians who've talked about this like how come there wouldn't be a vision, her apparition at that point. It's probably, they said, probably that Bernadette had committed an act of disobedience to her parents, and this might be the reason why there was a break. And of course, the following night, Bernadette begs and pleads to her parents, you know, to let her go. And of course, she goes. So on that day, Tuesday, February the 3rd, it's a special day for Bernadette. And this time Our Lady reveals to her three secrets for her own sake. And some accounts, all of which rely on Bernadette's testimonies, describe these revelations as three separate secrets, or else one triple secret. This loving mother, Bernadette would later say, told me three secrets that she forbade me to share with anyone. And guess what? Bernadette would take those secrets to the grave. Yeah, never, we don't know what they were. So curiosity would make us wonder what Our Lady told Bernadette, right? But such thoughts really are useless and unfruitful. These secrets were for Bernadette, for her alone. And it's imprudent to challenge the Mother God with speculation to really, you know, ask our Blessed Mother. It's not for us to know. Right, and then of course the eighth apparition, and this time Our Lady says to Bernadette, penance, penance, penance. She says it three times to her, and she looks extremely distraught. Our Lady looks distraught, right? And this is of concern to Bernadette. And then finally, on the ninth apparition, and these are one of the three of the most dramatic and famous of the whole two weeks of this promise that Bernadette promised Our Lady to come to the grotto for 15 days. So Bernadette says, and I quote, "The Lady also asked me to go to drink from the spring and wash there. Since I did not see a spring, I started toward the Gave River. She said that that wasn't the right place, and she pointed to another place, showing me the spring under the grotto. I went to the place she showed me, but all I saw was a bit of muddy water. There was so little of it that I was hardly able to get any of it in my hands. Nevertheless, I obeyed and started digging with my hands. I tried to drink it, but it was so dirty that the first three times it came back up. On the fourth try, I was able to drink a little of it. This moment of the spring would in time be seen as the most impactful of the Lord's story. The Lord's story, I didn't say that correctly, given that miraculous healings to this day, brothers and sisters, if you've been to Lourdes, would soon abound from the waters of this spring," right? It's the main draw to Lourdes. That's why people go to Lourdes, for the healing waters of the spring water. So Bernadette also was told by Our Lady to eat some grass for the sake of poor sinners, an act of humility made on their behalf. And of course, Bernadette, obedient, ate the grass, right? She did that. And so that was to show, you know, this humbling act is to show her obedience, even though it was unpleasant. It was witnessed by the crowds, who must have thought that, what is she doing? She's eating the grass? Like, they must have thought she's lost her mind, right? But this was demonstrating the power of Bernadette's love for this lady, right? So finally, in the 10th apparition, the day 8th, the 10th apparition, and now she says, it's water, of course, and the spring is running more clearly, and Bernadette makes the sign of the cross before drinking some of the water and washing her face with it, and Bernadette hears these words, "Kiss the earth for sinners," and this is what she says. And so this tone that Bernadette hears, it's a polite request. And of course, Bernadette says yes, right? She does. And she doesn't, she seems oblivious to all the people around her, right? So again, Bernadette did not hesitate to offer this reparation for poor sinners. She had wept at Our Lady's request for penance, and now she threw herself in the most bizarre form of that penance, right, that Our Lady desperately wanted to save. And so then there's an 11th apparition, right? But when she goes, what happens is that there's thousands of people, right? There's thousands of people at the grotto, right? And after leaving the grotto, Bernadette was really troubled this one time, and she went to speak with the pastor there, Monsignor Marie-Dominique Peramal. All right, and Bernadette's anxiety turned out was not over anything she had heard from the lady, but rather came from the lady's instruction to speak with the priest. "And he is good indeed," Bernadette would say later of the man, "but I fear him more than a gendarme. A gendarme is a French soldier that acts as a police officer." So we should say here that the curé of Lourdes, Monsignor, was a man of high stature, commanding presence and stern countenance, right? Right? And he had taken no part in the events of the grotto, thereby giving an example of prudence. Right. So because the other clergy are all watching him, you know, how he's reacting and that he's keeping his coolness. Right. He's not just jumping into they're thinking the insanity of it all, of what this young little girl is claiming. So She, Monsignor, is drawn to Bernadette's story, and she tells him, she says, so Our Lady instructs Bernadette, go and tell the priests that a chapel should be built here. Well, you can imagine Bernadette, just a young girl, and now she's going to go tell the priest that this is what you should be doing. And of course, when she tells, he is like, he's got his back up, and he says, child, you shall say to the lady who sent you that the Curé of Lourdes is not in the habit of dealing with people whom he does not know, that first of all, she must let him know who she is, and then she must prove that she has a right to the name she claims. If this lady has a right to a chapel, she will understand my words. And if she does not understand them, you will tell her that she can dispense from sending any more messages to the Curé. Wow. Well, in time, the lady does reveal her name, and Father becomes Bernadette's strongest defender, and the two of them become great friends later, right? So the 12th apparition comes, and again, now there are soldiers from Lourdes to accompany, because now we're at 2,000 people at it's of people that are there, and they want to see if anything is fake, and they realize they have the understanding that you know, they're, I don't know, they were moved, they were clearly moved by the experience, and they thought, you know, if somebody were to tell me that this apparition is a fake, by heavens, he said, if any of the hayseeds on my mess say anything to me about it, they had better look out. In other words, don't question me. I know what I'm seeing, what I'm observing. So I think just the fact of watching Bernadette and seeing how she was in this trance-like stance at the grotto that made them, you know, there's no way this young little girl is playing tricks on anybody. So Bernadette offers now to pray the rosary using the beads of a friend. And what happens is the Blessed Mother doesn't like this idea at all. She wanted Bernadette to use her own rosary beads, right? So it's, again, it's through Bernadette's obedience, right, that she realizes that she, you know, she wasn't really, she shouldn't be using someone else's rosaries. She should be using her own. And I think that's what the Blessed Mother wanted Bernadette to understand, that it should come from her beads, from her rosary, her prayers from her. Well, March the 3rd and March the 4th, we are now at 20,000 people at the grotto. Can you imagine? 20,000 people from wherever, right? So at this point, there is a vision. And on this day, the crowds all knelt and waited in silent anticipation of some miracle. And besides the transfiguration of Bernadette's countenance as happened since the first apparition, there was no great sign. But the crowds were truly disappointed. And after this, the lady of the grotto did not say goodbye to Bernadette. She only smiled, right? But the lady's work and the story of Lourdes was not finished either. So brothers and sisters, you can imagine the state of crowds, and, you know, imagine 20,000 people, and how must little Bernadette feel like, you know, she must have been chided, she must have been ridiculed. I mean, I can just imagine how she must have felt, like, you know, what's going on. Anyways, as it so happened, she finally goes back again, and this time she asks, what is your name? So she goes back, and of course, don't think that during this time Bernadette isn't without trial. There were many, many times, time and time again, actually a lot of times, that she was hauled before the civil magistrates to explain herself and endured interview after interview with clerics and journalists and many curious investigators, whether they were old family friends or pious pilgrims from afar, people just wanted to know what's, you know, what some that were believers and some that were skeptics, you know, they all wanted to hear her telling the story. So finally, when she goes and anyways, there was certain tension regarding the apparitions, along with an unresolved question, just who is this lady? And so Bernadette had now come to believe that beyond doubt that it was the Blessed Mother, right? And certainly Monsignor Father there, he also, you know, he didn't want to say it, but he knew that Bernadette was telling the truth, and had not even, and even though Bernadette's lady had not even claimed to be Mary, much less proven herself to be, as the days of March passed, observant minds looked ahead to the 25th, the great Marian feast of the Annunciation. It was on this day that the Universal Church celebrated the Word becoming flesh and the proclamation of the good news that a Messiah would be born to save God's people. Well, with Mary and her fiat at center stage, the Lady of the Grotto perhaps would appear again on that day, and perhaps that would be a sign enough of her identity. Well, that night, Bernadette can hardly wait for the morning to come. She's just so excited, right? And then finally she sees the lady the next morning at the grotto, and she says, "Madame, would you be kind enough to tell me who you are?" And the lady only smiled, right? And then she gave her answer. She said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." And without a sign, without a goodbye, the lady disappears. Right. And so now, you know, she had no idea. Little Bernadette hears these words, "I am the Immaculate Conception," and she has no clue what that means. She didn't go to school. She didn't have any catechism lessons. So she was illiterate, and she had no idea what that really meant. So what does she do? She goes, leaves the grotto, and she goes straight to St. Peter's Church, right? And she tells the father the words of the lady, and the priest right away understood what it meant right away, right? And now, with these words, he knew who this lady was. He now knows, right? Pretty exciting, right? These were the last words that Our Lady spoke to Bernadette. They are the final message of Lourdes, the climax of the apparitions, right? So for us to understand these simple words, "I am the Immaculate Conception," they're such profound words for the church at the time, which and why they matter to us right now, today. We must dive further into the mystery of the Immaculate Conception itself, right? All right, so now we move on. And I just love it. Can you just, I would have loved to have seen the Immaculate Conception. So then we go, is what we would say is the aftermath. Bernadette faces the authorities. So as we've already seen, words of the event, let me just see my time. Okay, word of the events at Lourdes had spread rapidly. The civil authorities weren't blind to these events, even before the fortnight ended, soldiers were already in the habit of coming down from the castle each day for crowd control, and to now escort the now famous peasant girl to and from the grotto. And today we're going to follow Bernadette from the grotto into the offices of the civil magistrates and see how bravely she gives witness to the Blessed Mother in the face of intense pressure. And so I mentioned that the weeks before, between the end of the fortnight and March the 4th, the apparition on the 25th, was a very busy time for Bernadette and for Lourdes. In particular, it was the fortnight that the civil authorities inserted themselves into this story of Lourdes. Right, the exact motivations of the authorities are really hard to discern, but it's clear that by now the government did not look favorably upon all the hubbub in this little small village, right? So this is a big problem. And what does she say? Little Bernadette says, "As I was leaving the church, a police officer took me by the hood." So can you imagine, like the scruff of the neck, and ordered me to follow him. I followed him as we were walking. He told me that they were going to show me the prison that is put Bernadette into prison. I listened in silence, and soon we arrived at the police commissioner's office. He had me go in to a room alone with him. He gave me a chair and I sat down. Then he took some paper and told me to tell him what happened at the grotto, and I did so. After writing a few lines, as I had dictated them to him, he wrote down other things that were completely foreign to me. And then he said that he was going to read it out loud and to see if he made any mistakes. And so I listened. But scarcely had he read a few lines where they were already mistakes, and I spoke up in a very forth way. Monseigneur, this is not what I said. And he becomes angry and he keeps insisting, yes, I had. And he kept repeating, no, I had not. So these arguments lasted a few minutes, and when he had saw that he was mistaken and that I would persist in saying that I had not said what he said, I had said, and he would go a little further down his notes and then begin reading what I had never said, and I would keep maintaining that that was now how it had happened. So here is little Bernadette taken from her daily life, marched up the hill to the Chateau Fort and threatened with prison. And despite being interrogated and verbally drilled by the police commissioner for well over an hour, this young woman held her line, insisted on the truth, and refused to give in. She didn't get angry nor take the bait. She simply stated and restated the truth. We don't know if the police ever truly intended to imprison her. The gendarme who threatened Bernadette had no doubt gotten the idea somewhere, perhaps from a superior, or perhaps it was his own wishful thinking. In any case, Bernadette was spared, thanks to, in part, to the people of Lourdes. And so that, I mean, she says, Bernadette says, she could hear people kicking the doors and the windows and voices of men who were shouting, if you don't let her leave, we will kick the door in. And when they finally let me leave, she said, the police commissioner walked me to the door. When he opened it, there was my father who was waiting for me impatiently. Right. And this was the first time I was forced to appear before these gentlemen, she said. Right. And then she gets interrogated a second time again. Right. So this again. Right. So now she goes with her mom. And before I continue, and I will leave it at that, and that we are going to continue regarding her second interrogation and go from there. But anyways, brothers and sisters, the story of Lourdes is so fascinating, is so interesting. And it's fact. We know this, and it gives us such encouragement as we celebrate and bring homage to our Blessed Mother, a whole beautiful month of May devoted to her, and really our whole life is devoted to her, and we should be consecrating our life to her on a daily basis. She is a beautiful mother, a mother of God, a beautiful mother, gentle and understanding, and our intercessor, because the more we get closer to our mother, my friends, the closer we are to Jesus. And that's the route we have to take. So, my friends, without further ado, thank you so much for being with me this beautiful afternoon. And I hope to see you again as we continue the journey of Lourdes. Bye for now. I've got no